Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. You know, I don't know about you, but I have absolutely enjoyed this week's marriage challenge, and I think we've saved one of the best topics for last. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie, one of my favorites, and his wife, Kathy, will tackle the topic of romance. God has indeed wired each of us with a desire for intimacy within the most sacred marriage relationship. Whether you're a newlywed or you've been married for 40 years, you won't want to miss a minute of today's show.
Thanks, Dr. Dobson. To conclude our five-day marriage challenge, Dr. Dobson has invited his good friends Greg and Kathy Laurie to the studio. Greg Laurie is the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in California and Hawaii. Greg has published more than 50 books. His wife, Kathy, leads the Women's Bible Fellowship and is the founder and director of the Women's Ministries at Harvest Christian Fellowship. The Lauries have been married for 42 years. Here now is Pastor Greg Laurie, along with his wife, Kathy, to conclude our five-day marriage challenge on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Greg Laurie welcoming you today to Family Talk. And my wife, Kathy, and I are sitting in for the good doctor, James Dobson, who, guess what, is off today celebrating with his dear wife, Shirley, their 57th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my gosh. That is so great.
We've only been married 42 years. We're like newlyweds compared to them.
But they're carving a great path, and we look to them. There's such wonderful examples of what
marriage
can look like over the years, just so in love with each other. So great that they're together over there in Hawaii.
I'm so glad, and I'm going to text the good doctor and say, here's where you need to go eat breakfast. Should I reveal it to the general public?
No, there are too many people there already.
I'm going to say it. If you're ever in the island of Oahu, go check out a place called Eggs and Things. Best banana pancakes. I just said banana. I meant to say banana. Hey, maybe they have banana too. But anyway, Jim and Shirley asked that we would say a few words about the Family Talk five-day marriage challenge and how we as couples can stay connected in these crazy times in which we're living. So everybody, you ready to start?
Yes.
So everyone, if you want to take the five-day marriage challenge, we will send you devotionals to help you really make the most of this. So here's a question that we're dealing with in the devotion today, Kathy. Mm-hmm. How do you keep romance alive in your marriage? I think Dr. Dobson and Shirley are giving us a good example. Take your wife to Hawaii. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, one thing, Greg, that you always emphasized early on in our, you know, even when we were having the little ones, they were still, you know, like in their fours and fives. And you always made it a priority. And you would tell me, we need to get away, just you and me. And we had to leave the kids behind. And it was like, no, nobody's going to cut their food the way I cut it up. They'll starve to death. And it was really hard for me as a mother and really loving my children like I did to feel like anyone else could mother them the way I could. Yeah. So I didn't want to leave them behind. But you made it a priority, not all the time, but at least once a year for us to just get away as a couple. Because as we have come to realize, you raise your children and they go.
Yeah.
And then it's just the two of us again. Yeah. And so if you aren't investing in your relationship as a couple, if you aren't still friends, I mean, you have to have something to talk about besides just the children.
Right.
And we did that, and it has paid off. We are more in love than we've ever been. And that friendship that we have together, you know, as the Titus 2 tells women to love their husbands, that word isn't eros, that word is phileo, which means you would be a friend, your husband would be your friend.
That's right.
And we've been friends, and we've enjoyed each other's company all the years, but it takes effort. It really does.
Yeah,
it doesn't
like
just happen.
It's like a fire. You know, you got to keep putting fresh logs on the fire, and if you neglect it, it's going to start going out. And it's something you have to be very intentional about. You know, it's interesting in Genesis, when God brought the first couple together, Adam and Eve, and Jesus quotes us later, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So there's two operative words, leave and cleave, King James there. So it's leaving all other relationships. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean you're still not, you know, a child to your parents or a sibling. But what it means is the number one relationship in your life now is your relationship next to God, of course, mm-hmm. with your spouse. And in fact, the best thing you can do for your children is love their mother, love their father. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even when sometimes couples divorce later in life and the children are adults, when those parents break apart, I'm telling you, it's like you took a pickaxe to the foundation of a mm-hmm. child mm-hmm. that had been building their life on that. So it's so important that you leave all other relationships. But then there's the word cleave. And the word cleave means to hold on to something. In, mm-hmm. It's in verb form. It's clinging to something. It's not like you're stuck together, but you're holding on to one another. Sort of like if you were scaling the side of a mountain, you're holding on for your dear life. Right. And that's the idea in marriage. Constantly be evaluating other relationships. Yeah. Listen, folks, your best friend, as Kathy was just saying, should be your spouse. And then secondly, hanging on to one another, clinging to each other, mm-hmm. and keep your romance alive. Throw new logs on the fire mm-hmm. every day.
How do you do that, Greg? What do you? That's a metaphor, throwing logs on the fire. But what are some practical things?
I have no
things?
Idea. I just like the way it sounds. No, I would say.
You do it really well.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my. Well, tell them well, how I do okay. it because I don't know.
There are times when I will, and it's not every day, but over the course of our marriage, the times when I've just come downstairs and you've bought me some flowers. Yeah, or you've bought me a new orchid plant, or you write a little note and just said, I'm just thinking about you. And yeah. it's so seldom that people write notes anymore,
yes, that's
but I've saved those. Yeah. And just making time for me, I think the way that we can express love to each other is by showing that our relationship with one another is a priority. Yeah. Because wherever you invest your time, your energy, your thoughts, yeah. that's where your heart's going to be drawn.
Yeah.
And I know in this day and age when there are a lot of women who work outside of the home.
Yeah.
They're around men. They're around other people. And so much of their energy and effort, how they dress, how they look, what they bring to that relationship outside of the home can be a place where women's hearts get drawn. They make yeah. emotional attachments. And you have to be very careful about that, that the number one relationship, priority-wise, outside of your relationship with God, and it really as a byproduct
yeah.
of a way you honor and love the Lord, is to love your husband.
Yeah.
That's not always easy to do.
No, it's something, you know? And I don't think you need to wait till you feel it. I think sometimes mm-hmm. people say, well, I'm not feeling it. Answer, who cares? Just do what is right. You know, 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. 13 is often called the love chapter. But if you look carefully, it isn't just a definition of what love is. More, it's a definition of what love does. Love is patient. Mm-hmm. Love is kind. Love doesn't hold grudges. It's what love does. So mm-hmm. don't wait for the emotion of love. Do loving things and your emotions will catch up. I read about a survey that was done a while back by an insurance company trying to figure out why some people live longer than others. And one of their discoveries was people who kissed each day live longer lives. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Kiss when you're off to work. Mm-hmm. And here's why. You know, look, we never know when it could be the last day of our life. We never know mm-hmm. how long we will live. So you want to make sure that you are always telling your spouse you love them, even sending texts, you know, those little emojis, you know, blowing mm-hmm. kisses, little things like that. A note is great as well, because you can keep a note. You can't keep an emoji, can mm-hmm. you? So, but I think just using all the little tools we have to just remind your spouse you love them. Just say, I love you. You know, women are more verbal than men. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier for women to say it. And I don't think it's that men don't feel that love. We just are more uncomfortable with saying it, you know, outwardly. And so I think guys need to be very conscious. I'm talking to the men out there. I know a lot of ladies listen to this program, mm-hmm. but ladies, tell your husband I said this. And guys, if you're listening, remember, you need to say to your wife, I love you. Well, she knows. Yeah, she may know, mm-hmm. but it doesn't hurt when you tell her, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you, for the ladies, one of the greatest ways you can express your love to your husband, I think this is very important to Greg, and I imagine it is to other men out there.
Feed
is
him.
To yes, that would
That's
be a
one.
Big one. That's one.
Whenever I'm cranky, Kathy is so smart, she knows Greg just needs food. Get him food now. But I'm sorry, you were saying
this
something.
May be more typical of married couples that are our age. But yeah.
Men
but
are
I'll
like dogs. They're very easy to figure out. You know where you stand with a dog. Dog's mad. Dog's happy, you know. Men, just feed them.
Oh, goodness sakes. I'm glad you said that and I didn't. But, you know, I think that for women, one of the greatest things you can give to a man, and this, I believe, is at the beginning of your marriage, the middle of your marriage, towards the end of your life, is be good listeners.
Yeah.
Give them your attention.
Yeah.
I think so often, especially in the busyness of life and with our ever-demanding cell phones that are in our hands constantly, when it comes to having conversations with each other, there are times when I've been in a restaurant with Greg and I've looked at a couple across the way and they're both looking at their cell phones and no one's speaking to each other. Greg will often come into the room, here, I want to tell you something. He said, are you listening to me? And if I'm looking at my cell phone or if I'm distracted with something else, you say, what did I just say? And often I know what he's trying to tell me is, love me by listening to me.
Yeah.
Hear what I'm saying to you. Don't interrupt. Don't come in with your ideas, your suggestions, and your corrections or whatever, or say, I know what you're going to say before you say it. You don't need to tell me this whole thing again. Actually, just look him in the eye. And give them your attention.
Yes.
Listen.
Now, I'm going to take this recording and play this back for you.
I'm preaching to myself.
For you later.
It's a struggle. I admit, it is a struggle for me. And in this day and age, with our attention spans getting shorter and shorter, to actually...
These stupid cell phones.
Give ourselves enough time to think and to speak to each other and allow that other person to finish their thought before you think you know what they're going to say.
Right.
And another thing is to be full of grace. In marriage, no one's going to not disappoint you. Everyone sooner or later will disappoint you. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. And Jesus said, before we got the instructions on how to love each other in marriage, he said to all believers, love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty tall order. How did he love us? He loved us even while we were sinners. He loved us even when we were messing up.
That's
and
right.
To show grace and kindness and forgiveness and love over and over again is a demand that is made of all believers, all Christians, and no less in the marriage.
I would add also, you know, keep short accounts. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And so, you know, you might be having a disagreement with your wife or husband, and one of them says, well, I remember when you said 25 years ago. It's like, seriously? In the immortal words of the great theologian Elsa, let it go? I mean, really, you need to put that behind you. And, you know, Ruth Graham once was asked, you know, the secret of a good marriage. And her answer was, it's made up of two good forgivers.
Really?
You know, and I think you just need to learn to forgive and move forward. Because, you know, we're going to disappoint one another. We're going to fall short of expectations. So, you know, you ask for forgiveness and you try again, you try harder and just, you know, keep moving forward. Here's one thing that we did when we got married is we struck the word divorce from our vocabulary. It wasn't on the table ever. Not that it ever came to a point where we thought of that, but I'm saying we wouldn't even use the word. And maybe one of the reasons for that, Kathy, was, you know, I came from a divorced home. My mom was married and divorced 7 times. And I knew when I got married, I wanted marriage that would last a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Not just last, but a thriving, happy marriage. And so I kind of wanted to zig where my mom had zagged. And, you know, this is something that, you know, wedlock should be a padlock.
Yeah, that's right. The scripture teaches that two shall become one flesh.
Yeah.
And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And today it's just too easy for people to cite irreconcilable differences.
Yeah. You and I have had irreconcilable differences for 42 years. You know, you're neat. I'm messy. I'm usually early. You're sometimes late. You're cute. I'm fat. These are irreconcilable differences. So stop with irreconcilable differences.
And that starts, hopefully you had a long enough courtship to see that the person that you're marrying is not Mr. Perfect
or
Mrs. Perfect.
We broke up 3 times over 3 years.
We did.
It was an annual event.
Mm-hmm. We definitely.
We got it out of our system before we got married.
We are opposites.
Still are.
so different. And even our likes, our interests, our style, our movies, our sense of humor, we're different. But you know one thing, Greg?
Viva la difference.
It makes life interesting, doesn't it? You're going to have a different opinion when you ask me mine, because I'm not going to be just sitting there seeing exactly your way.
And that's why I value your opinion so much.
And I value yours, because we balance each other out.
We figured out a while ago that we have one complete brain between the two of us.
Oh, dear.
You'll be saying, what was the name of that one person? And I'll remember. And then I'll say, wait, what happened on that one time? And you'll remember. So between us, we have one complete functioning brain.
Thank God. We do need each other.
Well, Kathy, there's someone listening right now, and, you know, honestly, their marriage is probably hanging by a thread. Mm. They feel that there are these irreconcilable differences between them that can never be resolved. What would you say to somebody right now that feels like, you know, I'm done with this marriage. It can't survive. We can't make it. It's just completely broken. Can it be fixed?
Absolutely, Greg. You know, I mean, obviously there are circumstances and situations that are so horrific out there. And a woman or a man in a situation where there's life's endangerment, or there is certain circumstances where you'd say, you need to get out.
Yeah.
But those are so few.
Yeah.
There's so many more where it's just not the dream that you once had. And I think I would take it back to, what is the purpose of marriage?
Yeah.
What did God intend when he created marriage? And we are told in Scripture that marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for the church.
That's right.
And so the purpose of marriage is so much bigger than two people having fuzzy, warm feelings for each other. And I would say the number one thing that you need to do when you're feeling that marriage has lost its love, it's lost its spark, you maybe you're seeing things that you had never seen before in that spouse, and it's mm-hmm. disturbing or distressing to you, look to the Lord, number one. Love God first. Yeah. You know, as Ruth Graham once said, she said, my job is to love Billy. Yeah. It's God's job to change him. Mm. And how do we love each other? Again, going back to what Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Show them the same kind of grace and compassion that God has shown you. We are two sinners living in very close proximity to one another.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, somebody is going to mess up, because that's what we do. We are sinners. And so what we do is we go back to the God of all grace and all mercy and ask him to give us that kind of agape love, the love that shows and demonstrates itself in actions, not just feelings.
Exactly. You know, I think of the words of Jesus to the church of Ephesus, that had left its first love. And I think we could apply it to marital love as well. He says, you know, I know all these things that you do, but I have something against you. You have left your first love. So then he gives them a prescription for healing. I call it the three R's. He says, remember from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works quickly. So the three R's for a sick church or a sick Christian, or I might add a sick marriage, are remember, repent, repeat. So first, remember. All right, so let's say your marriage is struggling. Think back now. Was there a time when it was doing well? You say, yeah, there was a time. You know, maybe in the first year, it was in the first bloom of romance. So remember that. That's a point of reference. Okay, now, repent. In other words, change your direction. Now you've been going the wrong way. You've gotten away from that. Change your direction. And now, repeat. Go back and do the things you used to do. What did you used to do? Well, you say, I used to take my wife out to dinner. Well, why don't you do that again? And take her to a nice place this time. Well, I took her to Les Golden Arches. Hey, you know, that's okay, but whatever you can afford. It's not about how much you spend, but it's like, take her out to a meal. Open the door for her. Just don't close it before she's all the way in the car. You know, honor her, compliment her. Do those things. Again, don't wait for the feeling of love. Do loving things. Mm-hmm. Remember, repent, repeat.
And for the wife, repeating may not be opening the door for your husband. It would be, how do you dress?
Yeah.
Are you making yourself attractive to him?
True.
Are you available to him? Are you always too tired or too busy, or you have other plans?
Yes.
Is he second, third tier on your priority
That's
list? What kind of attention are you giving him?
Yeah.
You know, the things that we used to do is like, hey, jump on the back of my motorcycle. Let's go ride down to the beach or go to coffee, and you would be there in a heartbeat, whether or not you were tired or whether or not you were ready for it. It was like you were willing. So go back and do some of those early things again. Rediscover that marriage that you once had, that attraction that you once had, by investing in it.
So, Kathy, do you want to do this again in 15 more years?
I'd love to.
Then we would,
God willing,
have been married as long as Jim and Shirley.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes. Well, we want to again thank Jim and Shirley for letting us come into the studio and host our program today. And we wish them a very blessed and happy anniversary over there on the beautiful island of Oahu in Hawaii. I hope they have a great time and have much aloha. And so thanks, everyone, for listening today. And God bless you.
Pastor Greg Laurie and his wife Kathy sharing some valuable insights on marriage on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. On that note, we conclude Family Talk's 5-Day Marriage Challenge. If you have been with us for each program this week, congratulations on completing the challenge. Click on to drjamesdobson.org/challenge to sign up for a follow-up set of devotionals that will be delivered to your email box each month. If you just tuned in today on terrestrial radio and day 5 is the first program you heard, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org where you can review the first 4 installments of the series. You can sign up for the devotionals that go along with the 5-Day Marriage Challenge when you go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge. We'll email you the devotionals for the complete 5-Day Marriage Challenge. These are the same ones we featured on all of these Family Talk broadcasts. While you're online with us on our broadcast page, we recommend you check out the classic devotional book called Nightlight for Couples by James and Shirley Dobson. This helpful resource is the basis for the devotional material that we've featured this week. If you're enjoying these devotionals, you'll find more of this kind of inspiring material in the book Nightlight for Couples. Learn more when you go to drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening today and listening each day this week. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Sometimes reenacting the first stages of a dating relationship can help rekindle the fires in a marriage.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
According to Dr. Desmond Morris and Dr. Donald Joy, there are 12 stages to marital bonding that cement us together as a husband and wife. They progress from the least intimate to the most intimate, from simple eye contact to sexual fulfillment itself. Unfortunately, many of us neglect the early stages that drew us together in the beginning. Consider eye contact, for example. How does a typical American couple spend an evening at home? Watching television, both sets of eyes glued to the screen? Maybe they're not even in the same room together. There's not much opportunity for eye contact there. The next step in the bonding process is touching. The first time a man and woman touch can be an electric moment. But does touching continue on a daily basis during married life? Usually not. That's when the blossom of love can start to fade. What can we do when our relationship lacks romance? Dr. Joy suggests going back to the basics, the early bonding stages of dating. Eye contact, touch, holding hands, giving unexpected hugs. These are the experiences that convey a sentiment that words can't express.
How do people often come to you asking for advice, direction in life, maybe prayer over tough issues? Could be about their marriage, maybe about their children, maybe a tough issue that they're facing right now. If that's you, have you ever thought about going back to school or furthering your education? I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new center that has just started at the world's most exciting university, Liberty University. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and executive director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty. We have partnered up with world-renowned psychologist, marriage and family expert, Dr. James Dobson, to create the James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family at Liberty. But here's what's most important. We now have 3 programs of study coming out of that center where you can, regardless of major, doesn't matter what you're studying, whether you're going to go into psychology, business, science, or what have you, you can now get a minor from the James C. Dobson Center online and become a certified marriage and family relationship coach while you're going to college. Yes, you can. While you're going to graduate school, too, regardless of what you're studying, God has opened up a door here that's so unique. To learn more, just simply go to liberty.edu/Dobson. You'll find out everything you need to know. I can't believe God has opened up this door and brought Liberty University and Dr. James C. Dobson together to offer this program. I hope you go there. Liberty University. It's liberty.edu/Dobson.
Who doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Hey, it's Roger Marsh here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our new Family Talk smartphone mobile app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. Loaded with articles, broadcasts, and videos, the new Family Talk app will provide you with practical tips on making your marriage all it can be. The customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. So whether you're a husband or a wife, dad or a mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. The app also allows you to set personal reminders around life's greatest priorities, your faith and family. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.